Hi, this is Heaton Shah.
And this is Stelly Efty. And in today's episode of The Startup Chat, we're going to talk about work ethic.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And this was inspired by a tweet you posted recently, Heaton, that got a lot of responses and that I thought was super fascinating, something that I'd love to kind of unpack with you on the podcast. Why don't you, do you have the tweet in front of you? Why don't you read us the tweet first?
Yeah. I'll read the tweet. It got a pretty good response and it's interesting. So this was on December 30th. And what I wrote was, your own work ethic and that of the people around you need to match. If they don't, it'll make it harder to get alignment. And I know we've talked about alignment probably quite a bit now, and now I'm going to go find the exact episode. The first time we talked about it was episode 76, I believe, around startup team alignment. The actual first time we actually talked about it was episode 21 about how to simplify complexity in startups. And then even episode 77 was about startup team hacks working well with difficult people, in quotes. And then we talked about it in episode 146, stop trying to control people. And then we talked about it in episode 91, leadership versus management. This is just how it showed up in Google. But we've talked about it in many episodes. I'm gonna go through them again because these are probably great ones for people to listen to. But episode 21. Episode 76, episode 91, episode 146. Those are all the ones that we talked about alignment in. And so we've got a lot of content and a lot of things that we've said about that. And my revelation on December 30th had to do with how work ethic has a lot to do with it.
How come? What triggered that tweet? What triggered that thought? What made you think about it and then communicate it out on Twitter?
So it was like, almost the last day of the year. So it was the day before the last day of the year. I actually have been tweeting some things like later in the evening. So this was at like 9:37 p.m. Pacific. And usually that's when I'm just thinking about stuff. It's not that I'm trying to go to sleep or anything. It's before I go to sleep. I'm probably not, doing anything more than email and, happen to go find myself on Twitter. And then I hit that tweet button and I just put something out there. But these days, I've just been thinking a lot about work in general and how people like to work. And then this came up because I have a ton of team members that either I've managed in the past or work with or partners or even people that I work with right now and some people that I've even had to let go last year. And one of the things that I realized is that there's a sort of collective work ethic that develops in an organization, in a company, or even between two individuals. It's a collective work ethic. And it's like, when it's not the same, it actually makes it so much harder to go figure out how you're going to get stuff done. And the way you and I have talked about alignment, it was about like, it's alignment is used as a tool to get more stuff done or get when you're not in sync and all of you are not doing the same things or focused on the same goal. Alignment is a good word. It's a good system to enable you to sort of get back to kind of what matters. And I realized that if your work ethic doesn't match, it doesn't work. I'll give one example. Most of the people on the teams I work on have one of two modes. They're either, and this is not everyone, there's very few people that are in mode two, but mode one is like, if something needs to get done for the company, it doesn't matter who you are, it just gets done. That because that's your responsibility, that's your job. And if you can help in any way, you will. And what that ends up meaning is that sometimes someone on a Saturday has to do something. Sometimes someone on a Friday night has to answer a text from me, usually, or, they have to stay up late, or, when the server goes down, one of the engineers is always on it, no matter what. And we have very small teams these days. And so this becomes super important. And what I noticed is that, if I text somebody or ask somebody for something late in the day and they don't respond till the morning, but it was urgent, or not even urgent, but important enough, then it's a just different work style, different work ethic. And I don't mean that people need to work their ass off or anything like that. It's just that the way that the majority of the team or, the other person, if it's just a two-person relationship, treats their work, that's how you need to treat it as well. Otherwise, you're just not a good fit. And it's something I haven't really seen anybody talk about.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of powerful stuff in there, and I have some even recent examples in our own company about this. But first, I'd love to unpack a little bit how you think your work ethic developed. Like, is this something you learned from your father? Is this something you, is it nature or nurture? Was it a mix of it? Was it always the same, you know, even going to school? Like, how do you think you arrived at the work ethic that you have today? And how would you even describe your work ethic today?
Yeah, that's a great way to start thinking about it. So I think the cop out is to say, oh, I learned it from my father or growing up from my parents. Although there's probably a lot of truth to it. I think that's really a cop out though, because my father is a physician. He would do a lot of things and you could call him a workaholic. And I would say he has a very similar work ethic to myself. Maybe it has to do with just value systems, but I think that's a cop out because as you get in the workplace as an individual, you develop your own systems as well. And your own way of like what you gravitate towards in terms of work. I think it boils down pretty simply to me in terms of my work ethic and what I look for in team members. And I've said a couple of these things before, but number one is like when you have a job to do, whether it's a small task, a big task, or like if what most people would call a job at a company, do you have 100% ownership and responsibility over that role? What that means is like whatever happens in that role or even any ancillary roles or maybe even at the whole company, you take personally to some extent, not in a negative way or anything, but it matters to you, right? Even like things like when someone in customer support, there's a support ticket and they're yelling at a customer support person, you're there to help, right? Or you have the empathy from that team member saying, oh, that sucks. You know, is there any way I can help you kind of thing? So there's a lot around that to me to help kind of explain, I think, how I think about it is responsibility. Another one that I really like to use a lot is that when you screw up as a team member, like on something, you're more upset about it than anyone can be at you. And maybe you learned it growing up. Maybe, you know, maybe your parents were like that, or maybe you just realized that like you have to take responsibility for things. Maybe there's a level of maturity that relates to it. I definitely, as a child, matured pretty quickly. I know you did as well, Stelly, for probably many reasons. And it's like, are you an adult? Like, are you taking responsibility for your actions or your lack of action? And do you take that ownership? And that's the work ethic that I really value and look for. And it might be old school, you know, as some people I've heard call it. It might be, you know, anti-millennial, although I think that's a cop out too. I know a lot of people that were classified as millennials. I'm technically borderline. I'm pretty sure you're millennial too, some level of borderline. That's bullshit. Like we can all be responsible for our work and our jobs and our lives and what we're doing. And I think that it's like I just take a high level of responsibility. And I'll say one more word about it, which is like pride. Are you pride in the job you're doing? Are you proud? Do you have pride in it? Are you proud of the work you put out? Whatever it may be, as simple as like a tweet. I'm proud of my tweets when they work, and I'm pissed when they don't. And that's why, like, sometimes I get tweets that get, you know, people like them, and then we talk about them on the show, and that's awesome, you know. But like, I have pride in that shit.
I love that. Well, wow. So work ethic. This is so much in this topic that I love to unpack. But I'll jump on this note, which is coming back to the idea of not really labeling what is good work ethic, what is not good work ethic, what should everybody subscribe to in terms of their work philosophy or not, but more on the idea that you need to understand your own work ethic and others to know how well you'll work together, right? And that can be a huge factor. I think on that idea, something interesting that happened a few months ago was that, so, you know, it's funny. I think that I'll tell the story in sequence. So we had hired somebody on the team, and a big part of kind of us representing us and telling people what it would be like to work at Close.io was to tell them that we do like to believe in our people and trust them. We don't care necessarily or count the hours you work or when you work, and that we like people that have interests out of work and that have a good integration of all their interests, so we're not looking for people that are just going to be, you know, 18 hours in front of their screen 7 days a week to race to some kind of IPO or whatever. We're in this for the long haul, and we're looking for people with stamina and with lives and passions. So, and that always seemed very authentic. When I told people that, I believed it, right? And then, so we hired a new team member, and then a few weeks into that team member working with us in a team meeting, he actually raised his hand and asked and said, "You know, Sid, I remember when you hired me, you guys talked about, you know, work-life integration and balance and all these kind of things. But I have a few things that I've observed that are confusing, and I'm not exactly sure what the expectations truly are and if what you said is, you know, what you guys truly live. Because, you know, you guys, you know, you specifically, Esteli, told me that you leave work at 5:30 p.m. because you want to have dinner with your kids and put them to bed. But every night at 10, 11, or even midnight, I see you online and you're chatting and you're asking questions and you're doing work." And then this other guy, who's my co-founder, who works with the new hire on support tickets, he's like, "That guy, you know, on Friday, we finish up some of the most important support tickets and we go into our weekend. And that guy's just answering support tickets all weekend long. So I don't know if you guys expect me to be doing support tickets on the weekend or to be working at midnight, or because you said one thing, but behaviorally, I'm observing something completely different." And that was super crucial for him to bring up, because it was not that it was not true what we had told him. It was just that it wasn't, we didn't understand ourselves well enough to communicate our culture, our work culture well enough. Today, so I thanked him a lot and we kind of unpacked a lot of things in discussions as a team and as a company. And now when we hire somebody, what I tell them is that, and this is the truth, that we are a group of people that are passionate about their work and that we work a lot. And that my number one concern is not, do people work enough because we're a remote team, but are people overworking themselves? I'm telling people to take vacations, take breaks, not to work harder or longer. And that we are all, we try to, like, we do take vacations, we do take breaks. I don't, you know, work on the weekends and I leave at 5:30. But to be honest, I can't help myself because I'm passionate about the work. To, you know, once my kids are in bed and I've had my discussions with my wife and dinner, I go online for another hour or two and do some more work. And the same thing is true on the weekends. I wasn't even aware of this until that new team member mentioned it. I was saying I'm not working on weekends. The truth is I'm not working on weekends during the day because I'm with my children. But in the evening and at night, I do work. But I didn't even realize it. I honestly didn't realize it until he called me out on it. And today, I think we are doing a much better job at communicating our work culture with people and telling them, I don't expect them to work at night. I don't need them to work on the weekends. But if they see me do it, this and other people do it, this is why we do it. And we do encourage people to take breaks and have a life and go on vacation and have fun and be completely offline. That doesn't matter as long as you're doing amazing work. But you need to realize that everybody in this company is passionate about work and probably works a lot, right? So that's the way I just discovered ourselves to, like, understand our own work culture better and communicate it in a way that then matches expectations with reality with people.
I love it. I mean, it's easy to get confused, you know, when you're doing the work and when you have your own way of working. But it's pretty awesome that, you know, even in your culture, someone can bring that up, you know, in a safe way and actually have you guys iterate and improve and change. I think that's really cool. I agree with you. It's, for me, it's not about necessarily that you're working all the time. It's that you have this passion for it, if you want to use that word, and you'll do what it takes when it takes that, or you're just coming back to it because you really feel like the work you're doing matters. And like, I don't always see this in every company. I see companies scale and people come in that don't have that same work ethic as the beginning. And guess what happens over time? Over time, that company stops growing. And it's really about having that alignment on work ethic. And this is very common in a startup. That's why as companies get larger, you start seeing their office empty. I went into an office, about 30 person team. And that was probably like last week of December, is like the Monday or Tuesday of that week, you know, when nobody's working. And I went to the office and I met a friend of mine, and this was like, I'm getting the date. It was like the 19th. No, I think it was later. Yeah, I think it was the 19th of December, actually. Isn't that a week that a lot of people weren't working? I'm pretty sure it was. My calendar is full that week though. But I was looking and literally, like, there was nobody in the office. It was my friend who's a co-founder and I think a product manager there. And I walked in. I'm like, oh, everyone's gone? It's empty? And he gave me this look, you know, like, what are you talking about? I'm like, okay, all right. And then I moved on, right? And you can tell clearly their work ethic, their style is not, you know, it wouldn't work for me, you know, but I hope it works for them. And so this is not about judgment. It's more about seeing that, like, if you're the one that keeps coming into that office and you're working your ass off, what ends up happening is that over time, you start seeing nobody else doing the job. And then you have two options. One, you become like them, which is totally fine if that's what you want, right? Obviously, or you leave. And this is what I meant by, like, the work ethic really ends up defining how easy it is to get aligned as a team.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. And I find that there's a lot of confusion around this, right? So there's some companies that are obsessive about their work culture and especially the hours they put in, but they might not communicate that clearly with new hires or people they are trying to get on board. And then there's, you know, misalignment, or vice versa. There are companies that think they talk a lot about, like, work-life balance and taking breaks and all that stuff, but they don't live it or they don't live it the way they describe they do. And oftentimes, you know, when it comes to work ethic, if there's misalignments within the teams, especially with the founders and people that work in the company, you don't even have to explicitly say anything. People will feel pressure. They will feel either the pressure to work less because nobody is here, nobody is doing anything at these times, or they will feel the pressure to do more. And either one, when they feel pressure to act in unnatural ways to themselves, it's a bad thing. And they might get judgment, right? If you like it or not, we're all pretty judgmental creatures as humans. And even if you don't explicitly ever call somebody out for working too much or too little, people might just look at that person, you know, in non, you know, positive terms because they're not aligning on work ethic with them. It's a funny thing. You know, growing up in Germany, in the south of Germany, you get people are pretty hardworking and they're craftsmen. There's a great culture of craftsmanship. Doesn't matter what you do, everybody's trying to do their work really, really well and have good quality in their work. Mostly, right? I'm overgeneralizing greatly here, but you see an above average around observed around the world. In comparison with the south of Germany in specific, you see an above average level of craftsmanship in work. And so that was always a big part of what I've seen and observed growing up. My mom working really hard as a person, never ever complaining about any of the hardships that she had to deal with in her life, was another thing that I just observed in terms of taking ownership and doing the work and shutting up and being happy and grateful for the things you have and all that. But then I also have this other part of the culture of growing up, the Greek part of it, which is the exact opposite, where people had this, and I'm again overgeneralizing, but had this horrible work culture in my mind, where everybody was just trying to do the bare minimum, ideally tricking somebody else in doing their own work so they could just spend more time, you know, with the finer things of life. You know, friends, music, good food, dancing, relaxing, drinking coffee, you know, talking about life and everything. But just everybody just looked at work as a necessary evil to fund life. So everybody tried to be really smart about finding ways to optimize, to do as little work as possible and get away with the worst work product possible in order to finance a good quality life. And that causes a lot of issues. So I had these, the stark contrast in cultures growing up. And that was for me important to see, okay, you know, what do I value? What do I want? You know, the Germans may be working really hard and doing great quality of work and taking great pride in their work, which I admired, but maybe not enjoying life enough, maybe not, you know, being able to enjoy any of the fruits of their labors and appreciate them as much. And the Greeks being the exact opposite of, like, enjoying the fruits of very little labor, way too much, but not getting anything done. And those two things influenced me in trying to, you know, I'm not as balanced on this. I care about work a lot more in many ways than I care about just, you know, hang out on the beach and drinking pina coladas. But I do care about enjoying the work that I do and not just doing the work. And I learned that by just observing these two cultures to a big degree, I think.
That's so fascinating. Like even the contrast and being able to observe it and then coming up with your own sort of model for it. I find that really refreshing because for me, I just saw one way, you know, and anything that, and that way was the, you know, work hard. Don't worry about, you know, your fruits of your labor and spending it on pleasure or anything like that. And just the reward for great work is more work. Yeah.
I'll give you even one more example before we wrap up for tips. Just because it's so random, I would never talk about this in any other context than in this specific podcast.
Awesome.
Here's a weird or interesting example for work ethic misalignment. I was, like 16 years old, and I had a summer job at a factory at Mercedes-Benz, at like a car assembly line, basically. And I show up there, and I'm like, I'm in front of what I'm assigned to one specific machine, and you basically, whatever, you push four buttons, and you turn around pieces of metal a few times, and you do a little test. You do a bunch of more mechanical things, and then you push it, and the piece, you know, is now moving to the next station in the assembly line, and the next pieces come to you. And my brother was working at that factory as well during that time, and I was just a summer worker there. So I'm assigned to this machine first day, and I just, you know, try to get the hang of it, try to figure out how it works. And once I got the hang of it, I was like, all right, this is cool. Let's do the work as well as I can, but also as quickly as I can. It's just the way I was thinking. So I do my work, I do my work, I do my work. And eventually my brother shows up and he looks at me and he's like, how's it going? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's not that exciting, but you know, it's not that difficult either. I'm fine. And he's like, well, dude, you need to chill out and slow down. And I was like, what? What do you mean I need to slow down? Am I making mistakes? Am I causing any trouble? I say, no, your pieces are fine. But you're causing trouble because all the other workers in the assembly line, they're pissed off. This is not the right speed. You're too fast. You're producing too many pieces. This is causing everybody else to have to do too much work. So you need to slow down. You have 8 hours. These guys don't want to make more than X amount of pieces. So your pace needs to be a lot slower. And I remember that, A, that blew my mind. Nobody ever asked me to do work slower, do less work. That
you're
I was
right.
capable of.
Not happening.
And the other thing was that work became a lot more painful for me over the next 2-3 weeks because I was artificially slow. And I was like, just my day's not going by. This is just making my life more miserable because I could do a lot more and I have to artificially slow myself down and dumb myself down to not piss off anybody else. And it was an interesting and important moment. And obviously it stayed with me. This is many years ago, over 20 years ago, or almost 20 years ago, because I was like, wow, there are people out there that optimize their work to do as little work as possible. And when there's somebody showing up that is more productive or is more, you know, focused or more driven, it actually fucks with their day and it annoys them. And it kind of like, it messes with their day. You know, I'm just like a 16-year-old kid, I'm going to be gone in 3 weeks, but I'm an annoyance. So somebody has to come to me and tell me, dude, slow down. You're working too fast and nobody else wants to work that fast. And I don't know, that always stayed with me that obviously I decided back then that the type of work I want to do in life is work that I don't have to slow myself down or I don't have to tell other people to do less. I want to do the kind of work where, you know, I'm just passionate. I want to do as much as I can and as good work as I can without thinking about the clock or without thinking about, you know, how to optimize doing as little as possible and getting a paycheck.
Man, I mean, this work ethic thing is so much to unpack. So I'm going to jump into my tip and hopefully help people unpack it for themselves. This is very simple. I think this might apply to family, might apply to one-to-one relationships as well as teams. Just look around. Think about it. What's your work ethic? What's theirs? And write it down. Write the difference between yours and theirs if there is any. Even if there isn't any, just like I think what you learned at your company from that new team member, try to think through what it really is and what it means. And one of the best ways is just statements like, you know, I'll answer a text message at 9 p.m. on a Friday. They won't. Right? Just stuff like that. I know that's a little aggressive, but you get what I mean. Yeah. Or, you know, every quarter, most of the people on the team take a week long vacation. I should too. Right? If you're not into that, things like that. So I think it'll really help you decide whether you're in the right place or not. And that's super important for all of our happiness.
Yeah, love it. And you know, the same thing can apply to personal life, right? So I'll just add to this tip. Work ethic is this funky thing. A lot of times in our private life, in our personal life, we don't discuss it with our, you know, partner, you know, maybe, you know, your girlfriend, boyfriend, or you know, your spouse, children. We don't discuss it with our children, or we don't discuss it even with other family members. Talk about work and how you think about work and how they do, and try to get alignment there, but also try to make sure that they get the right impression. I know that just recently I stopped saying, in the morning I used to say to my kids when they were, I'm playing with my kids for a few minutes whenever I can in the morning. And then I would say, okay, daddy needs to go to work. And they were like, no, stay here, play with us. You know, I would do the daddy thing. Yeah, I'll come back later. I really need to go. And then at one point I caught myself and I was like, well, I don't really need to go. I choose to go. I could stay here. Nothing would happen. I can choose to go to leave, and I'm choosing to leave. So I need to communicate that better to my kids. My kids think I'm pressured to leave. I'm not. I'm free-willed deciding that now is the time I want to go to work. So I started saying to the kids, now daddy wants to go to work. You know, now I really want to go. Just like you want to play, I want to work. So I'm communicating, trying to be more mindful in the way I communicate with them. But also I had family over for the last 2 weeks from Germany, and nieces and nephews here. And I went, I took them out for coffee, and I asked them, why do you think your uncle came to the US? Why do you think I work the way I do? And there were some misconceptions on that. They were just assuming I love money and I'm like on this crazy hunt. I'm becoming ultra rich. And right. So although I never talked about money with them, but I mean, they're like 9 years old and, you know, and 10 years old, and they just observed me from afar, and they probably somehow thought, well, he wants to get really, really rich, obviously. So that was a great opportunity for me to talk to them about why I work the way I do and what really drives me and what motivated me to come to the US and all that. It was a great discussion for everybody involved, but it made me realize that work is something that's maybe not discussed often enough or not clearly enough, even in your personal life, and getting alignment there, making people understand why your work ethic what it is, and making sure that, especially with your spouse, you have alignment on your work ethic is probably a super important thing, and something most people never really think about talking and working through. And then there's all kinds of misalignments and frictions and misunderstandings that can cause a lot of trouble in life. So my tip is talk to your loved ones and your people in your personal life about their work ethic and yours as well.
Yeah, all the issues are preventable.
Yep.
All right, that's it.
That's it from us. Hey, here's a thing. I'm not asking, we're not doing a good enough job asking your listeners for favors. So here's an ask that I haven't made in a long, long time. If you enjoyed the Startup Chat, if you like this podcast, do us a favor. Go to iTunes, give us a review, good or bad. We read them and we appreciate them. And the more reviews on iTunes, the more people will discover us when they search for podcasts around entrepreneurships and startups. So the bigger the community will get and the more value people will get out of these conversations that we have. So please take a minute right now and go and give us a review if you appreciate the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, that's it from us.